You're listening to Marketplace Weekend, where the economy meets real life. I'm Lizzie O'Leary. This week, some big news that affects the world economy.
Thus, as of today, the United States will cease all implementation of the non-binding Paris Accord and the draconian financial and economic burdens the agreement imposes on our country.
So let's start there. The president announced Thursday that the U.S. would leave the Paris Climate Agreement. And since then, a lot of corporate America has responded, well, they wish he hadn't done that, with statements from the CEOs of Disney, GE, Tesla, Amazon, Facebook. So we're going to get into all of this with Marketplace's Scott Tong, who covers sustainability for us. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Lizzie.
So after the president's announcement, you know, we have heard multiple companies, states, even cities say we're going to keep lowering our own emissions. Well, why are they saying that?
Well, let's talk about states and cities first. A lot of states have aggressive targets for introducing renewable energy into their systems. Cities as well, they want to be the market for these new technologies. And of course, with this crisis, the slow motion crisis of climate change, it's an opportunity for the companies that make this technology and try to sell it. Companies invest 20, 30, 40 years into the future, and for many of them, they believe this low carbon ship has sailed and they're planning for that future. Let me play you a little bit of tape from an interview we did with a U.S. climate negotiator who worked for the last four administrations, Susan Binias, on the motivation of companies who wanted the U.S. to stay in.
They obviously think it's more in their economic interest and the interest of the United States to be in than to be out. I think they think they're going to lose out on certain markets in terms of clean energy, technologies, renewables, et cetera. There might be economic sanctions taken against the United States as a non-party to the Paris Agreement.
The president mentioned the U.S. no longer paying into a fund, basically billions of dollars to other countries. He called it redistribution. If the U.S. stops paying in, does that kind of mean the rest of the deal falls apart? What happens?
So an important part of the Paris climate deal was getting all the countries in. And so bringing the developing country into the deal was critical. And part of that was the money, that the rich countries would agree to pay hundreds of billions of dollars for the developing countries to afford the technologies to mitigate climate change and to be able to adapt to it. And here's the thinking. The effect of climate change is largely because of historic emissions, and the rich countries are the biggest historic emitters in the world. So we created the problem in a way and have the money to be able to address this. And the poorer countries in the world, they're the ones who actually are going to be on the receiving end of most of the impacts of climate change. So that was the thinking. If the U.S. pulls its money out of the deal, who fills that hole? That's a significant question, I think, going forward.
I want to fact check some of the things that the president said in his announcement in the Rose Garden.
Sure.
One of them was that the industrial sectors will lose jobs. Is that accurate, the number of jobs lost that he suggested?
So this comes from a study that was funded by coal industry interests. And so many believe it contained a bunch of cherry-picked assumptions that went into the study. One of the assumptions was that, you know, a lot of the decarbonizing that the U.S. was going to do was going to be borne by the industrial sector, you know, steel makers, cement makers, paper factories. It's kind of a curious assumption because, you know, most people believe that you're going to look for the lowest, cheapest carbon reductions first, and those would likely come elsewhere in the economy. So a lot of people are scratching their heads and wondering if that's really the best assumption here.
Another thing he mentioned is that Americans might pay higher energy costs. Is that accurate?
So that goes back to the same study that has a cloud over it. And another assumption that in that study was that there would be minimal innovation in the electricity sector. You know, wind and solar and next generation batteries, a smarter power grid. There are other studies out there that suggest there will be more innovation, that these energies will get cheaper under the Paris deal. Who knows who's going to be right? But again, the question is whether is this another kind of cherry-picked assumption to make Paris compliance as painful as some want it to be?
I want to ask you specifically about China because, of course, before you covered sustainability, you also covered China. And there is this question of global leadership. As the U.S. steps away from this agreement, does China step in?
Certainly China wants to step in. There's an obsession with this notion of soft power, right, of gaining friends and power through the power of attraction, being a good actor in the world instead of through guns or through GDP. But global goodwill, it takes a long time to build, and it's clear that the Chinese are still figuring that out. This is a great opportunity to be at the center of the table that the U.S. has just left. And so what's happening at the center of the table is there are a lot of technical conversations, like how to design markets to cap pollution and trade the credits. And that's what the United States actually invented, how to integrate wind and solar energy into the grid, how to verify that countries are doing what they say. You know, the U.S. had a lot to gain and had a lot of expertise to add to these conversations. And now this is an opportunity many countries want to fill, certainly including the Chinese. Now that the clean energy markets are going to be in places like China and India, they could shape the rules so that Chinese companies benefit from that.
Marketplace's Scott Tong from our sustainability desk. As always, Scott, thank you.
You're welcome.